It's somewhat awkward to be in a room with a lot of people in the dark. Sometimes we don't appreciate light. We live in a day, thank you, Edison, for the light switch. When darkness comes at us, we have an answer with a switch. We don't even many times think about it. We just turn on the lights. The bulk of history has not known this luxury. When the sun set and it got dark, it was dark. And that took work to live in the dark, especially certain times of the year and certain places on earth. Now, the theme of light and darkness is one that you can trace from cover to cover in your Bible. And so my goal here this morning is to give us a bit of an experience in quasi-darkness and then reflect a bit on light. We read that the Lord God is the Lord of light. He is the God who is sovereign over light. And the very first words of your Bible give you this revelation. Light comes on the scene right away. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, more amazing to consider is that he spoke this command before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. He said, "Let there be light," and he created light before the sun existed. How does that work? I don't know. But isn't that just like God? He can do that. You trace down through history and you find that this light and darkness theme comes up again and again. Now, fast forward many years to when the chosen people of God were in slavery in Egypt, and God raised up his man Moses to be the savior of his chosen, the deliverer from slavery, from the land of Egypt. And he said, "I want you to go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Let my people go.' And if he says no, then I've got about 10 things I'm going to bring down on that land. So he will know that I am God." The ninth plague the Lord brought over the face of Egypt was darkness. Let's read about this. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be darkness in the land of Egypt, and a darkness to be felt.'" Now note that word. It's a darkness that you can feel. Have you ever been in that kind of darkness? I remember an experience down in a cave, way, way down underground, and I'd never seen it so dark in my life. I could not see a thing, not the hand right in front of my face, nothing. And we began to sing in that cave, and my goodness, it was awesome. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness all over the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now, just think about that. Darkness from God means this doesn't work like normal, okay? When it got dark in Egypt, what did they do? Well, they started fires. They lit candles. They had lamps. None of those functioned according to the properties that God gave them to function during those 3 days. God wrote the laws of nature. He can bend, break, suspend, do whatever he chooses. They're his laws. It's his light, you see. So they were lighting flames that gave no light. But cross the street, okay, into the camp of God's chosen people, and guess what they had? All of the people of Israel had light where they lived. They're like, "What? What do you mean, man? Sun's shining? Candles work at night. We're reading the scriptures just like we always do. Fascinating. The plague, it freaked Pharaoh out. It scared the people of Egypt. They knew they were dealing with a God who could literally suspend the properties of light itself if he so chose. Then you fast forward and you read a prophecy that Isaiah gave in chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness. That's the way he describes the world. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Now, just a few verses after this in Isaiah, we read that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. We sing this song every Christmas. That, my friends, has everything to do with Jesus. Isaiah knew it, and so did Jesus as he grew and learned. Now you fast forward to John chapter 1, and we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you see the light here? In him, in Jesus, was the light, and the light was the light. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is a kind of light that darkness has no power over. Now, if we hadn't read about in Exodus the plague of darkness, we would say that light always beats darkness, wouldn't we? But God can make darkness overcome light if he so chooses, but not in Jesus. Jesus is the light which no darkness can overcome. And then we fast forward to our text for today. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. What's it like to walk in darkness? I've tried it in this room. Come in the morning before the sun is up. You try to find the lights. You ever been in there feeling around a room? Especially in the basement where that one string is hanging down in the middle of the room. Who planned that out anyway? You know, the string, and you're reaching for it, and then it brushes against your cheek like a spider web. It scares you to death. Darkness, groping around in the dark, trying to find our way. That's this world, my friends, apart from Jesus. He says, I am the light of the world. So that's our topic for today. That's what we're going to study. Go ahead and hit the lights, guys, and encourage the rest of you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12. We love light. We need light. We live by light. You can't grow a garden without the sun. What would we do without the light? What would we see? Where would we be? Let's pray as we enter into these words. Lord God, as we walk to your word today, we do so humbly. We do so with great anticipation. We do so expecting to see because of your Son and your Holy Spirit and the promises that you've made about your word. It's living and active and sharp. That your Spirit opens our eyes to truth, convicts us of sin. And Lord, we know that even now you pray, you intercede for us as we do this and pray to you. You pray to us, and our minds are blown by such reality. We thank you for light. We thank you for life, and we pray today that we would appreciate it more, see it more, understand more of what it means that you are the light of the world. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of the world. Now, one of the things we know, and I'm just going to beat this drum till I'm dead and gone. It's all about context. Context of Scripture matters so much. You can't just drop in, read a verse, and then make it mean what you think it means. You have to interpret according to its context. Everything that we are given in the Word of God has a context. Now, we can bring application into our context from their context, but we will miss the truth. We will not appreciate it. We will wrongly apply it if we care nothing of the context for which this took place. Now, I want to show you how important that is in this sermon. Now, I've given you the larger context of light and dark. I wanted to start in Genesis and move to Exodus and move all the way down through Isaiah and the prophecy and the realization of the light in John chapter 1. But here, I want to show you, when Jesus said these words, what was taking place? Why is this so mind-blowing? And why did they want to kill him and argue? Well, in order to do that, we've got to go back to the book of Exodus once again. Now, I didn't realize when I started this series how much of the I ams were sourced and rooted in Exodus. I'm seeing this in new ways. I just didn't realize that. The pillar of fire that God gave his people to lead them through the night in the desert after he delivered them. Give you just a little glimpse of this here. In Exodus chapter 13, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. And by night, that cloud became a pillar of fire. Okay? The Shekinah glory of God burned like a tower of fire in the sky so that they might have light and even travel by day and by night. They could walk through the desert darkness by the light of the glory of God revealed in view. What would that have been like? Every day, every night, you look out of your tent, there he is. Look at that. Now they still grumbled, didn't they? They still grumbled. They still sinned. Oh, what a gift we have in this word, the revelation, the fullness of God's self-revelation, and they would look at us and say, you sin, you have all of the story, and yet you sin, and so we can't be too hard on them as we look back. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, did not depart from before the people. What an amazing thing that would have been to witness, to see, to feel even the heat of a fire, a flame of God, the kind of flame like Elijah called down from heaven when the prophets of Baal tried to do what they did and failed epically, and then the fire fell from heaven and lapped up all the water, the sacrifice, the wood, and the stones. That fire burns bright in view. The glory of God, the light. Another reference for this in Nehemiah, as they look back and recall what God did. He said, You're a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You did not forsake them, even when they had made for themselves a golden calf and said, "This is our God. This is your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt." They had committed great blasphemies. You, O Lord, in your mercies, your great mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud to lead them in the way did not depart from them, nor did the pillar of fire by night. It went to light for them the way by which they should go. Now, just underline that in your Bible. The pillar of fire went to light for them by the way that they should go. The place they should go is where the light went. Different than a flashlight, I don't hold it in my hand and say, okay, let's go there, and then I walk there. No, this is the light that leads us where we should go. We follow it. It'd be like having someone with a spotlight, and that spotlight moves, and I just try to stay in it because I want to stay in the light. Fast forward from Exodus, And that revelation of God all the way up to Jesus in his time as he's in the temple and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some of you might have heard of this, others maybe not. The Lord commanded three feasts to take place to celebrate his provision, protection, and deliverance from Israel and the harvest and the bounty that he had given. And one of those feasts was the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. It sounds like booze, so I say tabernacles. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this feast, the Lord commanded every healthy male would take his family and build a tent-like structure out of olive wood and branches and leaves, and they would live in this tent for a week. Okay, so this is a celebration of deliverance provision. This, my friends, is biblical tent camping. So men, if you're trying to convince your wife that you should go tent camping, you have biblical reason here to suggest this is a good idea. Now, it's a hard sell, but here it is. Every year for a week, good, faithful Jews would go tent camping, only they would build their own tent, like John Denham. They would make their own tent out of different things, and they would sit in that tent with all of the Jews who had gathered around Jerusalem, and you would see thousands of little campfires all over the hillsides. People would build these on their roofs in the city. There were tents everywhere, and it was festive, and it was fun. It was a celebration of God's deliverance. Remember when we, the chosen people, lived in slavery, and he brought us out. Remember when we lived for 40 years wandering through the desert in tents. Remember when, kids, let me tell you about, you see this? The purpose of this celebration. There was a lot that took place during these events. And one of the things that I hadn't noticed so much was the lighting of the temple court. Okay? And during the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a lot of pomp and parade. There would actually be a light parade where people would light torches and lights. Light was the focal point of this. And they would parade through the city, a stream of light. And then they would come, the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles would be what was called the lighting of the temple. And in the temple, in the court of women, there were four massive menorahs. Each had four gigantic bowls on them. And when I say massive, I'm talking 75 feet tall, each one. Huge towering menorahs or candelabras with four bowls. And in each bowl would be poured 10 gallons of oil, and then they would be lit. And down on the court of women would be all kinds of singing and celebration. And all of this is taking place, the lighting of the temple court in the court of women. This is what it might have looked like. This is kind of a 3D rendering. And what we're talking about here is these little things right here. Not little, they're gigantic, massive compared to the square and that. They would put out like an Olympic torch kind of flame, okay? 16 of those would be lit on this night. That's the court of women. I want you to look in John chapter 8 and go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So the context of these words, "I'm the light of the world," happens in the treasury, or what we understand is where the collection boxes would have been gathered. Somewhere down in this area or up here, there would have been 13 collection boxes for the treasury. Most normal folks couldn't go into the actual storehouse of treasure, but people could come and bring their offerings. This is where the widow who gave her 2 cents, that went down. So Jesus taught here regularly, and that's that square. It's the court of women that's adjacent to the treasury. Jesus is in this square, and he says those words. And most commentators believe that the timing of these words very much coincided with the Feast of Tabernacles based upon John chapter 7 and where this chronology unfolds. So now, just put yourself in this crowd. You've done this every year. This is what you do. You're a Jew, a faithful covenant-keeping Jew, and you want to honor the Lord and worship and sing His praise, and so you sing those psalms of ascent, and you go to Jerusalem, and you come in, and you build your tent, and your dad is there, and he puts the leaves on, and your whole family is there, and you're singing and celebrating God and His goodness. And then you join the light parade, and you carry your torch up all the way to the temple, and you come in, and the most holy men of Israel are leading the singing and the praise of Yahweh, the Lord. And then comes the moment everybody's waiting for, the lighting of the great menorah. And all four of those would be lit. And then Jesus declares these things. Consider that. The declaration most likely came right in view of that. And he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's me. It's me. Those fires, 16 fires that burned, were the reminder of the Shekinah glory that burned bright at night and led the people through Israel, gave them light and directed their way. As those 16 fires burned bright on the top of the hill in the temple, and all eyes were staring at that light, Jesus said, that is about me. I'm the light. That pillar of fire by night, that was all about me, the true light. I'm the light of the world. This would have been an amazing statement. The I am, again, quite clearly designated ego eimi. Ego eimi, it's literally translated, I am the light of the world. I am that I am. Exodus 3, the burning bush, that light, that's me. All of the echo of the deliverance of the people of Israel from their slavery. The light that burned bright in the night, that's me. I am the light. This is a clear claim of deity, a clear and distinct claim to be the one who is the Messiah. This is a clear answer to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Upon them the light is shown, that light that Isaiah spoke of, me, Jesus says. What an incredible declaration he gives. I'm the light of the world. It would have been easy to be pretty impressed with the traditions and the joys of going through all of the different things you do, and you would have had these memories, much like Christmas. This is what we do on Christmas. We set this up, and then we do this, and then it's like that, only for the Jews here. The lighting of those gigantic candelabras would have been so awesome, such joy and jubilation. And then Jesus claims that for himself. All of this that you're doing up here, direct it right here. I'm the light of the world. For all the people who stood and witnessed from all around Jerusalem, thousands and tens of thousands of people who watched those lamps light like the Olympic torches, Jesus says, you should all be looking to me. It's me. I'm the light. He goes on to say, the reality is here that you're stumbling in the dark. I know the temple is lit and you think you're walking in the light, but you're not. You're stumbling around in the dark unless you realize the light is me. I'm the light. It's an amazing thing to think about what light brings to us. Without light, you can't see depth. Without light, you can't see others. Without light, you can't even see yourself rightly, can you? Without light, you can't see color. Without light, you can't see growth. The sunlight reminds us of this. I love that we call it the sun. Just change the U to an O. We walk by His light. We bask in His light. He warms us with His light. His light will come in the morning. as sure as the sun rises every day. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. If you're not following Jesus, you're walking in darkness. If you're not following Jesus, you're walking in darkness. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. What is the gospel? The glory of Christ, right? Who is the image of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Here's the reality. We are born into a world that though the sun traces across the sky spiritually, we are in the dark. We are wandering around in the dark. We have no hope of changing or bringing light. We could, like the Egyptians, we could light torches all day long, all night long. No light's coming. You can't create light spiritually. More than that, you're bound by Satan, the god of this world, lowercase g, the god of this world. By the way, Satan is the dog on a leash in the hand of God. They are not equal foes. He got nothing. He would cease to exist if God said. But he has chosen that right now, in the way that this world is, the god of this world would have the power, the freedom to blind the minds of unbelievers and keep them in the dark, keep them wandering around. Oh, Oprah said this, or so-and-so said this, and it's so good. It's like lighting a fire that has no light. How do you do that? It's the latest this. It's the newest this. It's the faster, the bigger, the better. This will satisfy your soul. Cram it in. Look for it here. Go to the party. Smoke the dope. Do all of these things and you'll have light. No, you won't. You're a slave and you're stumbling around in the dark. Apart from Jesus, there is no light. It's in that equation that Jesus pronounces, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I light the night in your soul. Only me. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who did what? What did he do? He called you from where? Out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Salvation is a passing from death and darkness and slavery into the light and freedom and joy of God. And that happens through Jesus Christ. It's the only way it'll happen. What an amazing thing. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. What does that point us back to? Genesis 1:1. Let there be light. It's the same God who said, let light shine out of darkness. That God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the very face of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to pass from death to life. To pass from darkness to light. It means he lights your soul and you see Jesus. That's what you see. You don't see a happy life. You don't see no troubles or you know, wonderful riches in your bank account. You don't see smiles and treasures on earth. You might not ever see any of those things. But if you see Jesus, you live. You have light. What an incredible reality. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. What a beautiful display of words. It's hard for life to flourish in the dark. Sin, my friends, flourishes in the dark, doesn't it? Sin does. But the light of life is pure. It's clean. It's radiant and splendor. There's beauty in light. Even on a dark night when you look in the sky and you see the stars, the beauty you see is the stars that shine. They shine that light. To follow means akalutheo, akalutheo. It's just to follow someone who takes the lead in determining direction, the direction and route of movement. This goes back to how it works with Jesus. You don't say, Jesus, thanks for the flashlight. Now I'm going to go where I'd like to go. I think I'll go over here. No. Jesus comes in to your dead soul. He comes into your darkened heart and mind, and he lights your world up, and he says, follow me. Follow me. Obey me. Listen to my voice. Do what I say, and I'm telling you, you're going to have life. You watch this life unfold. Follow me in the light. Walk where I walk. Don't tread in the dark any longer. There's no life down that road, is there? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When we study these scriptures, we can't overstate this. This is light for your life, Christian. If your Bible gathers dust all week long and you think that you're walking in the light, you might be mistaken. The best thing about a Christian is a worn-out Bible. I'm telling you, wear your Bible out. Get it open and follow the Lord in the light. Live in this word. It's life and light. Your mind will be renewed. What you once thought was lame and boring and a waste of time will become all of a sudden the treasure of your heart. And once what you lived for will all of a sudden become wimpy and lackluster and worthless to you. Your word does that. It's your word that lights my path, and I follow where it leads me. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. There's another display of the isness of God. God is light. He's pure. He's bright. He's radiant. He's glorious in splendor. There is no darkness in him at all. No sin, no shadow, no black. He's all in view. It's all clear. It's all bright. It's glorious. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the dark, we lie. We lie. We don't practice the truth. You can't say I'm a Christian and live in the dark. It doesn't work, does it? I follow Jesus when he's in the light, but my life is operating in the dark. I'm not a Christian if I do that. I don't really believe what I say I believe. Christians follow as hard as possible after the light. And they give themselves and throw themselves as much as possible into the path of Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. He is the light of life. I pray that you have experienced that today. I pray that you are growing in the light of Jesus Christ. There's no other life to be had. There's no other satisfaction for your aching soul than Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I go back again and again to this picture, this slide. Hey, we're in our tent. Here we are. We're in the desert. We don't understand this. And I just would have to, if I was there and I had my family and we're in the desert and we're eating this manna from heaven and quail and all of this stuff, the Lord says, still, we're literally dependent upon every meal from God. Water itself comes from him. And then I would just struggle. I would look at my wife, and then I would open the flap of my tent and look out. Okay, there. No, it's okay. He's still here. Look at the burning light in the sky. It's okay. It's going to be okay. We're not alone. He's with us. He's lighting our way. I don't know if you've been through circumstances like that, but if you haven't, you will. Look to the light again and again and again. The gospel is not a one-time event. It's every minute of every day. You look again. Look to the light. Look to Jesus. He's there. He's with us. There are two ways to walk. You can walk in the dark or you can walk in the light. Two ways. There is no riding the fence. There is no, I want both. You're either all in or you're not in. Walk in the light. Follow Jesus. I want to close with a call to shine. This is a mind-blowing thing that happens in Scripture. It's something that Jesus does himself, which if he hadn't have done this, I'm not sure I would ever have seen this coming. But watch what he does. He says, for at one time you were darkness, Christian. One time you were, not in darkness, you were darkness. Now, you are light in the Lord. Not just he is light, but he made you light. He made you light. You were dark, now you're light. He made you light. Now, what should you do? You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but keep awake and be sober. We're talking spiritual soberness here. Be ready. Be working. Don't lazy around and just pass your days like nothing is happening. You're in the light. You see what's real. You know what's coming. You know what is. So spend your days well. Don't waste your life. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off what we used to live in, that lingering darkness, and put on the armor of light. Walking properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the realities of how you are light, Christian, is you wear the very robe of the light. You're literally wearing Jesus like a light in the dark now. And wherever you go, it lights up. Make no provision for the flesh. You're the light of the world. Wait a second, what? Wait, I thought he said, I am the light of the world. Look at this statement in Matthew 5. You, Christians, disciples, followers, you are now the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. You can't be hidden. You shouldn't be hidden. Just like in Jerusalem, that temple that stood high above and gave light, you should be like that. Church, that's your job. No, people don't put a light and put it under a basket, or they put it on a stand so it gives light to the house. In the same way, let your light shine, believers, before others so that they might see your good deeds and your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's a call to shine, isn't it? You're a light. You're to shine. And so my question is, are you reflecting the sun? You see yourself as a gigantic reflector of the sun in the world. You are reflecting the very light. You have been made light by Jesus, and you're called to shine. What an amazing, amazing thing. Response this morning, I just have a few questions. Do you see the light? Have you seen the light? Remember the old song, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Pray that that's your reality. I had the privilege of sharing with Josh there in the back row Sunday night, and I watched God save him, walk him out of the darkness and into the light. What a joy! Life, freedom, light. God did that. I'm praising God for you, brother. Do you see the light this morning? Are you living in the light of Jesus Christ? Is he lighting up your life? And lastly, are you walking in the light? Walking. Tomorrow morning, what are you going to do to intentionally place yourself wherever that light leads you? Do you have eyes to watch it lead your way? Is your Bible open? Is it lighting your path? Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you have given us this life, the life that comes only through the light of your Son, the one who lived his life the way we could never live. He obeyed perfectly. The one who, in perfect obedience and submission, laid his life down to drink of the wrath that I deserve, that we deserve, to pay the sins and the penalty that all of us deserve, because you are holy and just and you require wrath for sin. We're so thankful that this Jesus shined his light in a dark world, allowed that dark world to put him down according to your plan and your hand. We're thankful that he did not stay dead, but he rose. We're thankful that we are free in him, that he is our light, and we walk by him and by his gospel and the light that's in his face and his eyes. It's a saving light, Lord. All of us were born children of the night. None of us deserve to see this great light. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. It's all of you. It's all of your grace. We're grateful. Help us to shine. Help us to light up this world, oh God, for you. Help us to be a light to the nations, a light to Whatcom County, a light to our families, our schools, our neighborhoods, our workplace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.